What is up, internet? That is my best Chad impression. Chad is not here today. He took what some would say a well-deserved vacation. I don't know if I'd agree with that statement. He is a teacher, so he gets 2 months off out of the year, plus weekends and holidays. So he does work hard, though, when he is working for his 6 hours a day or whatever it is. So Brett is still here. Say hello, Brett.
What is happening, everybody?
Do you think maybe I should apologize because we have a few listeners that are teachers, and I don't want to lose part of our audience. I'm not sure.
We also have a few listeners that are disabled, and I have absolutely no filter when it comes to my disability. So I don't think you need to apologize for anything that you say. This is a no excuses podcast. There is absolutely no reason or no excuse to apologize for anything that we say.
Right on, man. And obviously anybody that listens with any kind of regularity knows I am kidding. I take a lot of shots at Chad, and that people pick up on that through the podcast. So we'll just put that out there. We'll leave it at that. And hopefully he's having a blast in Mexico.
The one thing I will say about Chad is that he is a lucky man for the schedule that he is permitted to have through his job. But like you said, he works incredibly hard, and his duties at home certainly trump the 3 or 4 months that he gets to spend basking in the glory of summer.
Yeah, absolutely. So we mentioned last week, and that podcast will be out today. So most of you will listen to it tomorrow. But you mentioned that you were going to the Honda Indy, or am I getting that right, or is that the old name?
No, the old name was Molson Indy, and I guess the beer company decided to pull their sponsorship or their funding, and now Honda of Canada has taken over the sponsorship rights. So I was down at the Honda Indy of Toronto on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And to be perfectly honest with you, Andy, it was my first time, so I was quite excited. I was a little nervous. I didn't know what to expect. I knew that it was going to be super loud at times and that there were going to be a lot of people. And if some of our listeners that know me, they know that I don't do very well with big crowds, especially big crowds that are packed into what I like to call the sardine can. So I was a little nervous about that, but I got to tell you, it was an experience of a lifetime, and I'm super excited to be able to go back next year. I've already decided that when tickets become available for 2020, I will be there. And yeah.
That's awesome, man. And you said you went to school with a guy that's driving. And if I was thinking about it at all, I would have been able to put together that you went to school with Mr. Hinchcliffe. Am I saying his name right?
I went to school with James Hinchcliffe. He's 2 years older. Or sorry, he's 2 years younger than I am.
Okay.
I was born in 84. He was born in 86. He doesn't remember me very well, but he remembers my little brother, who's a year younger than me, a year older than him. There have been stories of legendary parties at my house when I was younger, and he would have attended quite a few of those. So,
right on, man. So beyond that, it was on your bucket list, right? So you've always wanted to do that. So you knew somebody in the race. And then to kind of top everything off, I guess, the pace car driver was driving with hand controls, right? So kind of a win-win-win for you, I guess.
Well, it was certainly on my bucket list. And, it just so happened, like you said, that the gentleman that was driving the ceremonial lead car was using hand controls. Robert Wickens he was injured in a car accident, sorry, I guess in a race accident last year in California, and he's worked incredibly hard to get back into a race car and was fortunate enough, and they only found out a few weeks ahead of time that they'd be able to pull this off. They had an Acura sports car fitted with hand controls.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. The only sports car I've had fitted with hand controls is my first ever car, which was a 1992 Pontiac Grand Am. So if that's classified as a sports car, like I'm right there. But other than that, I have no experience with sports cars and hand controls.
I think that this car that Robert was driving on the weekend has a little bit more horsepower than your Grand Am, but
it's not your standard V6.
No, certainly not. He was booting it pretty quick down the back straight. We were actually quite surprised how quick he was going, but we were super, super happy for him because it just, like this podcast, he makes no excuses for the situation, and he seems like he's just really, really happy that he's alive.
Yeah, but I wanted to touch on this a little bit because you and I are, I guess the word you would use is fortunate that we were born with our disabilities, right? Like there was no accident where we were able-bodied and then all of a sudden your life is completely altered, right? So I mean, it's got to be pretty cool to be able to do what he loves to do, albeit a little bit differently, but still get back on the track and just fly, right? Like I got to imagine that's pretty cool.
I think what really caught my attention this past weekend was the fact that his team that he was driving for last year still accepts him for who he is. They didn't need to continue having him under contract or allowing him to be part of the festivities that happen during a race weekend, but he was there all weekend. He was in the paddock spending time with friends and family and sponsors and just being part of the crew. And I think that it shows what the Schmidt Peterson Motorsports Aero Racing Team is as a whole, as a family. For those of you that don't know, their head owner, Mr. Schmidt, was in a car accident back in 1999, and he became a quadriplegic. So I think it's come full circle in a sense, where now that their driver's had an accident that's altered his life, the main owner understood what was going or what's been going on in his life and has allowed him to continue on, like I said.
Yeah, man, I didn't know the backstory. Like we talked about last week, I don't follow motorsports very much. Like I'll see a clip here and there on SportsCenter or whatever. That's why I said if you had name dropped last week, I would have been able to at least put together who it was that you went to high school with. Why don't we talk about your whole weekend? Just kind of walk us through the whole weekend. Pardon the pun.
So leading up to the weekend, I was communicating with my buddy Matt, who I went down with him and his folks. They're big race fans. They do smaller circuits around the province as well. But So I was asking him, so what's the deal for the weekend? And he said, well, do me a favor and make sure you get down to Toronto and into the paddock by 8 o'clock. And I said, well, 8 o'clock in the morning, right? He was like, yeah, if you don't get down by 8 o'clock in the morning, we could run into some problems. And I didn't understand that comment at the time, but it gets busy really, really quickly.
So there are motorsport fans in the city of Toronto. That's what you're saying to me?
There are motorsport fans who, if they don't live in the city of Toronto, come to the city of Toronto to experience the entire. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like it's an entire event from the paddock to the qualifying to the. There's an area where there's food trucks and merchandise, and the Toronto police have some cars that they put out that are in pristine condition. Some of their older cars from back in the day. The OPP comes with the cream of the crop in their fleet. There's truck races. It's literally an entire weekend filled with things you couldn't even fathom unless you were able to get there.
We're obviously we're connected through Facebook, so I followed your weekend, and I need to just point out before we go any further that you were wearing an Arkells t-shirt. The Arkells are from Hamilton. I just need to say that. So, shout out to Hamilton.
The Arkells are the best thing that has come out of Hamilton.
I disagree, but anyway. So you mentioned you have issues with large crowds at times. So I imagine that that Fan Day in particular was an interesting time for you, no?
I mean, aside from actually sitting there and watching qualifying races and then main races for the smaller cars, and then we sat and we watched a qualifying race for Porsches, and then we saw a main race for Porsches, and which is I don't know, man. I it was the Porsche races and qualifying races were something that I. If I had to do it again, I would.
We actually have a guest waiting, so I want you to give me a Cole's notes, highlights from the weekend. What would you do again? What would you avoid? And then I'm sure when Chad's back here next week, he's gonna have his own questions too. So, yeah, just highlights from the weekend.
Highlights from the weekend. Easily meeting Robert Wickens and getting a chance to talk to him for 40 minutes about how life has changed since his accident, letting him know that he's an inspiration, which he did not like, by the way, and being as a person with a disability or a person with a difference of ability, I totally understand. And I told him that I could relate to it.
What about the race itself, like the main race? Was it, because we talked last week and I just don't see the appeal of it. That's all it is. Cars buzzing by, that's it, right?
Cars buzzing by. You do get an opportunity to see them for about a second and a half or 2.5 seconds. It was exactly how I thought it would be. It's fine. I thoroughly enjoyed that part too. But if we're going to be honest here, the meet and greets, they weren't official meet and greets, but the opportunity to meet some of the drivers, some of the owners of the teams, that was something that I will continue to cherish going forward to next year, because that was the thing that I thought was the coolest part. You And I know we have a guest waiting, but you go to a hockey game, you go to a baseball game, you go to a football game, and you don't get that sort of that experience of meeting players that long. Anyway, you can talk to a driver for 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. It would be the equivalent to like media day for the Super Bowl, right? Like it's not an everyday occurrence.
Right. No, it's a great analogy. Media day for the Super Bowl.
Right. Or I guess in our case, fan day, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So besides the prelim races, I guess, is there anything else you would avoid for next year?
It was stinking hot. And I haven't posted what my arms look like on social media, but the word lobster comes to mind.
Yeah, right on, man.
There are very few places along the course that are shaded. So I would think that next year I would make sure that I wasn't in the sun as long as I was this weekend.
Okay, so like we've said a couple times, we have a guest, but I totally forgot I wanted to touch on that. You said you were going in general admission, even though obviously you have your wheelchair. So how did the seating work? How was the accessibility? All that stuff.
So
give me a 30-second wrap up.
In my opinion, the accessibility needs a little bit of work. I have been told from the past experiences from my friends that the accessibility was actually better this year. My only thought going forward is to, and I'm going to do this, email the race organizers and give them a little bit of feedback on what my experience was like using a wheelchair and how it will probably be better next year.
Atlanta is a fitness freak, and she just happens to be married to my cousin, but she's pretty awesome. So say hi, Alana.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
No worries. So I kind of butchered the intro. You're married to Jay. My apologies for that. Jay's my cousin. And we met, I want to say, a little over 10 years ago, probably. How long have you guys been dating?
Almost 10 years, yeah.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So yeah, a little under 10 years, though. My math is pretty close.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about your businesses you got going on. Like I said, you're a nut. You're a fitness nut.
I don't think I've ever been described like that before.
Well, you're a little bit crazy, and I just was trying to be polite about it, so. So talk about what you got going on.
Well, I mostly run pre- and postnatal fitness classes, so fitness classes for moms and their babies. And then I also run super early morning classes, spin and boot camp and all that good stuff as well. But my bread and butter is the mom and baby stuff.
And the mom and baby stuff, actually my wife Amanda got involved when she became pregnant, when we became pregnant. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. But she wanted to – that was kind of her turning point for getting healthy. And I connected you two right away. Like, you already obviously knew each other, but I really pushed for her to take your classes. And she's shy, right? But I think she did a couple classes, and then she just – she fell in love with it, right? So.
Oh, absolutely. And I find that's the thing with a lot of like new moms. They're looking to either get healthy in their pregnancy because they realize how important it is, or they're looking afterwards because so much has changed in their bodies to start getting healthy. And for a lot of people, that really makes that shift for them. They want to get active and they want to do things and they want to be a really good role model for their kids at the same time. And it's a really great push to get out there and get moving.
You don't just do boot camps now. You do spin classes and a whole bunch of other ones as well. You want to talk about salsa babies, or you want to leave that one?
Yeah, sure. We can talk about salsa babies. Yeah. Salsa Babies actually is where I met Amanda. So she came to our Salsa Babies classes in Hamilton there, which is salsa dancing with babies in baby carriers, which is super awesome. It's a really great chance to bond with your babies and get moving. It's super low impact, which is really nice. And the music is really fun. So I do that in Hamilton. My other classes, for the most part, I run out in Norfolk County, which is where I live. But yeah, lots of fun there.
I didn't realize she did Salsa Babies first, and then you kind of.
I think that's what she did first, I think, was Salsa Babies.
Well, she listens to podcasts, so they'll probably punch me if I'm wrong. So.
Yeah, I think maybe she started with Stroller Fit. She might start with Stroller Fit and then done Salsa Babies in the fall.
Anyway, point being, if fitness, quote unquote, is not your thing, you offer a wide variety of options for pregnant people.
Yes, lots of things. So we do lots of stuff catered towards young families, and families that are just kind of starting out. So along with the mom and baby fitness classes, the part of that that I really loved was the community aspect. Like you were saying, with Amanda coming to class, she was kind of shy, and she wasn't really sure if she wanted to come to classes or not. And fitness can kind of be a really nerve-wracking thing for people to start out. And I recognize that it's a really like nerve-wracking and scary thing to go into a group fitness class, especially. So, along with my friend Brittany, who's a doula in Waterford here with me, we started some sensory play groups and Little Movers, which is like a gym class for little people who are like 4 and under. So it's a little toddler fitness class, and we get them moving and into our sensory trays and having fun that way and exploring different textures and senses.
I didn't even realize that. So you literally cover as much as you can.
Yeah, all the things. Yeah.
It's very cool. One thing I wanted to talk about as well, when Amanda was still doing classes, you reached out and said, what about doing a Daddy Fit class? You reached out to me and said that. And Brett, if you're listening, maybe you can jump in. I know you're not a dad, but it will make sense, I promise.
I don't know if anything you've ever said to me makes sense, but I'll try to follow along.
But if I'm being honest, when you first asked me, I was a little apprehensive just because when I lead fitness, whether it's group stuff or one-on-one, I do it in my chair. And I even said that to you, and I think it was a non-issue for you right from the start. So,
Oh, absolutely. We can make like anything work.
oh, and I don't disagree with that, but my kind of hang up was, what are these guys going to be thinking? Like, if they show up to the venue and there's this dude rolling up in a wheelchair, right? Like, that was my issue, and that's my own personal thing. It's still something that I need to get over, but yeah. And Brett, why I wanted you to come back in, I don't. Or I imagine that when you're working, a coworker sees you in a wheelchair for the first time, it's kind of like a deer in the headlights, right? Like, I could be very wrong, but
I think
anyway.
that happens mostly when, because I work in a factory setting, and with working in a factory setting, it's hard to keep employees. So we have a lot of temporary employees. So when a temporary employee walks into the door and sees a guy in a wheelchair, I think that's exactly the look that I get is a deer in headlights, like, what's going on here? I thought I was coming into a factory setting where grunt work is required, and
Yeah.
you do your best to prove to people that are new that you belong there and whatnot. But I was gonna say, like, in terms of fitness, I haven't done it a lot, but I've done some yoga classes. And for the most part, the yoga instructors that I know personally. They've done their best to modify a class to my ability. So, I mean, I've never seen that as an issue.
Yeah, so my issue is the reverse of that, right? Like, imagine being an able-bodied guy being like, oh, the instructor can't do squats, right? Like, so we just had, like, we being Atlanta and I, we just had to troubleshoot and figure out the best solution for that. And what we ended up doing was my brother demonstrated the exercises while I kind of described them and then coached, right? So that's what we did. It's still a hurdle that I deal with, right? Like, it's the majority of it is in my own head. Like, I think if somebody is coming as a client, they just assume that you know your shit, right? Like, if I can't do squats, I could tell you how to do them properly, or tell you if you're not doing them properly, right? So,
well, that's just it. In order to know somebody's like form, you don't necessarily have to be able to do it yourself. I'm kind of a big fan of the motto, like, your body's not necessarily your billboard. Your worth as a trainer isn't what you can do with your body. It's your ability to coach people into the proper form and to keep them motivated and excited to work out and keep them coming back to the gym day after day.
Yeah, right on. To that point, very, very much to that point, you've had a lot of health issues, and that's more the reason I wanted to have you on, because I think it started last year, right?
Yeah, it's been like a full year almost. It's crazy.
Yeah, so just talk about that a little bit. It started with your body was just seizing up, right? Like, and I don't say seizing as in you're having seizures, like
muscle spasms. Yeah. So I actually started around the same time I had my hands. I started to get this like little patches on my hands. So I'd gone to my doctor about my hands and just to get some like cream for them. And I'd mentioned the fact that I'd been having these like sporadic muscle spasms, kind of like when I would get really cold or like a big temperature change. And we did some blood work and everything seemed kind of normal. And a couple weeks later, it just got a lot more intense and I ended up going to the hospital from it because my entire body from my neck down just kind of spasmed right up and I couldn't move anything. So it was a little bit scary there. And yeah.
Yeah. And so when I was talking to Brett, just prepping for the show, we do that, by the way. So I just described it as super eczema. I don't know how else to say it other than that.
Do you know what, actually? I've been seeing a new dermatologist, and they actually it's a really specific kind of psoriasis. So it's called palmoplantar psoriasis, and it affects the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet. It's really inconvenient when you do what I do.
Yeah, right on. So it's a very visible thing, right? And you're out there on the front lines, for lack of a better way to say it, leading classes. And it's great that they figured out what it was, but how does that affect your day-to-day, your business, all that stuff?
It's been a real whirlwind the last year trying to kind of figure all of that out. So the winter time, my hands were like in a super horrible state and I lost most of the use of my right hand for a few months. And so I was altering the way that I was teaching day to day. And also I've had to kind of cut back on my class schedule a little bit. So I'm not teaching any evenings anymore, but, and that's kind of made it a little bit easier there. But day to day, I've just kind of had to alter how I teach. And I'm really lucky in the sense that I speak a lot about community, and the community of classes and women that I have in my classes are super fantastic and super accommodating when my hands are in a really bad state. So just like you, I do the best I can and I cue the best I can and I demonstrate the best I can and take it day by day.
It's been a while since we talked about it, so I'm actually pretty pumped that they figured out what it is, and that's cool. Is there any kind of treatment moving forward, or is it just, like you said, day by day?
I'm waiting for a new medication to be approved by insurance and crossing my fingers and hoping that it works.
You listen to the show a little bit, so you know we kind of close off our segments. We kind of close off our show with a segment called Offside, and I didn't bring Brett in on this one on purpose because I wanted to get his unfiltered thoughts on it. But it doesn't directly involve you, but it involves Jay, and I just wanted to so you know how it works. I run through a scenario or Brett, and then we just kind of talk about it and see where everybody stands on it. So, for anybody that doesn't know, I still do a little bit of video production, but Jay connected me with his best friend who was getting married, and we ended up shooting his wedding for him. So we're at the rehearsal. I got my camera guys there, and I guess the venue, the church actually had said, you guys can set anything up however you want to. Just make sure you put it back the way you found it, and then that's fine, right? So all the groomsmen, the groom, everybody's moving all the tables around. One of my cameramen jumped in, and he's moving stuff around too. And then I'm just sitting off to the side because, as we've discussed, and as you know, Alana, I have balance issues, so I'm kind of useless when it comes to moving heavy objects, right? So, one of the
Are you
brides.
only useless? Sorry, are you only useless moving heavy objects?
No, not only, but that's one aspect.
Okay, my bad. You can continue.
Thank you, sir. So one of the bridesmaids stops. She looks at me. She goes, "What? Your legs don't work? You don't want to help out?" And I kind of started to say something, but sure enough, Jay jumps right in, and he says, "No, as a matter of fact, his legs don't work. He I don't know. He said something like he has a disability, or he might have even said I have CP, but his bridesmaid le left." The bridesmaids left feeling, she didn't feel too good. So, but Jay's very blunt and straightforward, and he comes by it honestly. He's a Moor, so that's right. So, anyways, I get it. I'm not a scrawny guy. I'm pretty built. So, if I'm just sitting where everybody else is doing something, I kind of look like a dick, but it's for a good reason. So. Anyways, that's my offside for this week. And you two can chime in if you want to, or we'll just close it off.
I'm just wondering, Andy, was there anything you possibly could have done besides just sit there?
Well, I could have left so it didn't look so awkward, but no, it was like moving tables.
That's you know that that's not what I meant.
No, I was moving like tables and chairs, just stuff that I honestly can't do, right?
So you weren't being productive. Okay, fair.
No, that was her point. I was just, everybody else was chipping in, and I was just sitting there looking like an idiot. So Brett, have you ever been told to well, I guess you have a chair, so it's not really applicable to you. Somebody say, "Hey, get off your ass and help." To
Oh, I
you.
get that every day, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fair
I get
enough.
that every day at work, but here's the thing. I go in there and I make fun of myself.
Right.
I don't give anybody an opportunity to make fun of me first. I do it first, and then whatever rolls off their shoulder. If I deserve it, I deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing, right? Like this wasn't warranted. And again, she obviously didn't know. How could she know? But unless she saw me, swagger in there, saunter in there, Like she'd have no way to know, right? So it's
I think that there's a lesson to be learned here, though.
what's that?
Take your wheelchair everywhere you go.
I don't know if I had a wheelchair at that point, to be honest.
Yeah, but then that's your fault and your problem.
So you're saying this young lady's ignorance is my fault? Is that what?
100%.
Okay, fair enough. Well, that's our offside for today. Alana, do you want to plug your business at all? You have a website, Twitter, Facebook.
Barbells and baby bumps. You can search that, and all of the things will come up.
Right on. So I know we kept things kind of light, but in all seriousness, Alana is pretty awesome, and she is very good at what she does. If you're pregnant yourself, you know anybody that's pregnant, check out Barbells and Baby Bumps.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for your time.
Anytime.
Bretsky, what are you up to, man?
I'm going to crawl into bed and turn the Jays game on.
All right. Well, thank you again, Alana. And Brett, we will see you next week, sir.
Enjoy your week, Andy.
All right.
Alana, thanks for joining us.